I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, I am back. I missed you so much. It is so good to be here. And congratulations, the travel is over. It was a July from hell. I mean, it was fine, but there was too much travel. There's no other travel scheduled, no days off scheduled for months. I am here, you, me, politics, the election. I am here, and let us begin. What do we have on tap for tonight? First, I need to tell you, because I missed Monday, I missed Tuesday and Wednesday, we're doing Medal of Honor freaking Thursday tonight, about an hour from now. Why? Because I feel like it, and I miss it. We also have Joe Biden. What's he been up to? Dome is being hidden. The state of the race. The 9/11 terrorists getting a plea deal. I have thoughts on that. An assassination attempt that's amazing. What do I make of these reporters being freed in Russia? And some dude, tranny, not a tranny, who freaking knows, beats up some poor Italian female boxer at the Olympics. All that, Taco Bell, and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here, though. It's Thursday, this email says. My walking buddy is back. All is right with the world. I just want to tell you that I missed you as much as you missed me. And I also wanted to tell you this, because I have so many emails. There were over 1,000. And there were so many that are concerned about the coming election, about all the new polls that were coming out, new poll this, new poll that. In case you're just now tuning into the news, the race, Donald Trump and Dome, we know it's going to be Kamala Harris. So between Donald Trump and Dome, she's been selected. She's going to be the nominee. The race is tightening in a way it hadn't before. Donald Trump, prior to Joe Biden dropping out, looked like he was going to blow out Biden, and even the Trump versus Harris polls looked like Trump was going to crush her too, and then Biden drops and the polls still look good, and woo, we're going to win, we got it no matter what. And now there are polls out that still show Donald Trump up in the swing states. Remember, that's what matters. The polls you need to pay attention to are Wisconsin polls, Michigan polls, Pennsylvania polls. Those are what matter. There are polls showing Trump up a little. There are polls now out showing Dome up by a few, Dome up by five, Dome up. So first, let's do this. If you're going to base any of your happiness or contentment between now and November, a little more than 90 days, I think it's like 97 days. I don't know. I don't do research for the show. If you're going to base any amount of your happiness on contentment on the newest polls, you're going to have a miserable 96 days, which I totally just came up with. Jewish producer Chris absolutely did not convey that information to me. I did that myself, not Chris. Anyway, 96 days of misery does nothing for your life. And I know why you do it. It's the same reason I do it. I'm lecturing myself here. Okay, just know I'm talking to me. I want to know. I want the election to be over. I want to know, are we going to win? Are we going to lose? Is everything lost? Is everything? So you want to know ahead of time. Just someone tell me, someone comfort me. Someone tell me we're going to win. Or this. So let's just do this. I thought I would read this email, and then we're going to have a talk about just where we are as a country, a society. Dear Pontoon Daredevil, After all that has happened in the last 3.5 years with all the lies that were proven to be lies, economic struggles, lack of accountability, the border, and now this bait and switch, now 100 days from basically the end of America as we know it, people are going to vote for this turd of a candidate? How stupid can we be? He's talking about Dome. He's talking about Kamala Harris. So let's chat about that. How stupid can we be? Because something was done. It was done purposely. And we are living through it and possibly the end of it, the back end of it. But it, what is it? What am I talking about? Well, you can find yourself focusing too much. If you get too in the weeds, you can find yourself focusing too much on any one election and not understanding there are bigger, gigantic things at play when it comes to changing a culture, changing a country, changing a society. You can allow yourself to believe it's down to this election or that election. But here's the truth. The people, it is the people of any nation. We're going to make this about ours, though. So it is the people of America who will decide the direction of America. You know how I always say we don't have a politician problem, we have a people problem? And everyone hates that, even though it's true. Everyone hates that. Why? Well, we love our scapegoats, don't we? We love to point at the television set and say, it's Joe Biden's fault, it's Mike Johnson's fault, it's Kamala Harris's fault, it's Nancy Pelosi's fault, it's Mitch McConnell's fault. What we don't like to do is the thing that benefits us all the time. What we don't like to do is look in the mirror and say, what? Oh my gosh, it's that person's fault. Because that hurts. That's accountability. And for you, it probably doesn't apply to you. So we're talking about the people as a whole. The people, it is the people who decide the direction of the nation. You know who understands that? The people in power and the people who want power. They understand full well the people are the ones with the true power. And so if you want to destroy a nation, demoralize a nation, dumb down a nation, you don't focus on dumbing down and demoralizing the idiots in Congress or the FBI or anywhere, the teacher. You focus on dumbing down and demoralizing the people themselves. Why would you do that? Well, if you're a dirty communist and you want power for yourself and money for yourself and you have agreed, you've made an agreement with your conscience to destroy America in order to achieve those things, what do you want? What do you need? Well, you need a society full of morons, full of people who have given up, demoralized. I'm not voting. It doesn't work. Oh, I don't care about this. What? I don't. Three branches of government. I've never heard of it. You need to create a society of dumbed down, demoralized people, because what that gives you, it gives you people who will constantly send you back into office no matter your failures. And if you get a nation full enough of dumbed down, demoralized people, then the truth is it never ends up mattering how horrible or frankly embarrassing you are.
You all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
People listen to that little clip of Dome talking to people in Atlanta, and she adopts a Southern accent. The California Valley girl who was raised in California. We gonna do it in 2024.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we gonna do it again in 2024.
And people laugh and they point and they say, oh my gosh, we surely can't lose to that person, right? Nobody would fall for that. She's been wrong on every issue. She's a dirty far left communist who opened up the border. She believes in trannies and women's sports. She's wrong on this. She's wrong on that. Jesse, no one's going to fall for this,
and
right?
You all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
Well, yeah, they will. And yes, they have many, 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 many times before. You will not. You hear those things and you roll your eyes and you scoff at them and you say, what a cringy, embarrassing loser woman Surely nobody's going to walk into the polls and purposely choose that over Donald Trump, even if they don't like Trump. Nobody in their right mind surely would pick that woman to lead a nation over Donald Trump, because you could never logically come to the conclusion that Dome would be a better president. So obviously Trump is going to win. Well, what in the world, what in the world would make you think that people choose logically? You choose logically. You seek out information. You want to know the bigger picture, the why, how to think about things, what evil forces are at work, what tactics, techniques do they use, how do we oppose them? You think in those terms. But once you have dumbed down and demoralized enough people in a society, you become the ultimate minority. And we're going to talk about that. Tipping points. And some other things here in just a moment. Before we do that, let's talk about this. You know, I got home last night. I didn't get home in time, obviously, to do the show. I knew I wasn't going to. I was traveling. And my folks are in town. They were watching over the boys, and the boys are there. And you know who demanded to be greeted first? And I do mean demanded. That gigantic, fluffy idiot, Fred. He demands it. He couldn't. He insisted on being greeted before my mom did. He just comes and throws himself on me because me walking in the door after being gone for a week was the greatest moment of his life. And it's impossible not to smile, right? When your dog's sitting there greeting you like you are just the second coming of Christ, it's impossible not to smile. And that's why we love them, isn't it? That's why we give Fred rough greens. I'll tell you. We give Fred rough greens because I want that for as long as I can have it. And I know it will end one day, but I get to keep Fred longer. Fred gets to live longer and healthier because I pour rough greens on his food. He gets real nutrition, unlike what you get in dog food. He gets vitamins and minerals and probiotics. It fixed his digestive problems. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I almost forgot because I just now showed up that tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so you need to get your questions in for tomorrow. All 3 hours dedicated to you. I owe you that. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Get them emailed in right now for tomorrow. So we're talking about the election. Jesse's Dome going to win? Is she not going to win? Surely we're not that stupid, so let me just clarify. I don't know what's going to happen in the presidential election in November. You don't know. I don't know. Is Trump going to stomp her? Or are they going to manipulate things? Is, you know, setting all voter manipulation aside, ballot boxes and whatnot, are we just a minority now? Are normal, logical thinking Americans, are they a minority now? And has the society been demoralized and dumbed down? And let's be honest, with all the immigration, replaced to the point where that doesn't matter? I don't know. But I do know communists have spent decades, not months, not a year, not even years, decades dumbing down this society. That was part of the point of taking over the education system. There's a reason American high school graduates can't complete sentences or do basic math now. That's not an accident. They've spent decades dumbing down this society. They've spent decades demoralizing this society, making people give up, check out. They don't know up from down, left from right, top from bottom. There's a reason they've spent decades replacing the American citizen with foreigners who can be bought for a $500 Visa card. All these things were done for a long period of time, and one of the main reasons they did this was the communists wanted the day to come where it didn't matter who they ran, where it didn't matter what campaign was run, how we ran it, how they ran it, what our candidate was, what the messaging was, what we did here. They did all these things because they wanted the day to come where they have power no matter what. That was always the goal. And people are so frantic about wanting to know what's going to happen in November. They're so frantic about that, that they want me to tell them everything's going to be okay, or they want me to tell them we're screwed. And the truth is, I don't know where we sit there. I know we're very close to that tipping point. There's no doubt about it. And many people believe we've already passed it. Many people believe we are past that tipping point. It doesn't matter who the Democrats run. It doesn't matter who the Republicans won. They'll win forever. They'll cheat forever. It doesn't matter. And maybe you're right. I'm not here to tell anybody they're stupid. Actually, I take that back. I tell a lot of people they're stupid. But I'm not here to tell you you're stupid if you think we're past the tipping point. I'm not here to tell you you're stupid if you tell me we're not past the tipping point. I don't know. You don't know. But what I do know is we always have to keep our eyes and our focus on this. And then I'm going to move on and talk about some other things. We have to keep our eyes and our focus on the fact that we are fighting gigantic cultural, spiritual battles that are so much bigger than any one election. And if we don't think bigger in that way, in the end, we lose no matter what. If Donald Trump curb stops Kamala Harris in this election coming up in November, and we decide, yes, it's right, let's sit back, let's relax. If we don't, after that election, try to make gigantic cultural shifting changes to try to tip things back the other way, then the election actually doesn't matter at all. And vice versa. If Donald Trump happens to lose to Dome, God forbid, if he happens to lose to Dome in November, yet we choose to start participating more than we ever have in every part of our culture, every election, every bit of it, and we began to tip things back our way, then we are winning. What determines who will win and who will lose is not who holds the White House for any four-year period of time. It's who is shifting the culture in their direction. That is who will end up victorious. And there's no question we have been losing that battle. There's no question we had the culture. And now that they've seized all the institutions, we are now the counterculture. I'm not denying that at all. I've always been very frank about that. We are the counterculture now. We are not conservatives anymore. You can call yourself that all you want. We're not conservatives because we can't conserve what we have now. Now we have to be revolutionaries. Now we have to be counterculture. Now we have to fight back against the existing systems of power because we no longer hold any power in those systems. So I've never denied that. But we can still win. It will take effort from all of us, and it will take years. It will take decades. It will take fighting and fighting and losing some and winning some and fighting and fighting and fighting. What we can't afford to have happen is not November. It's not the White House. What we can't afford to have happen is us giving up and handing them the culture. That we can't afford, no matter what happens in November. All right? Remember that. All right, let's talk about, you know, these trannies and women's sports. Trump speaks to the Black Journalist Organization. Let me talk to you first about, you know, this weekend I had to meet with a bunch of the suits in Florida, and a lot of our advertisers were there, and I had a chance to speak with Pure Talk. His name's Will. I don't want to give out his last name. I didn't get permission, but I was speaking with Pure Talk there. And, you know, we all want to talk. And they all want to catch up with me and talk about politics and see what's new. And everyone asks different things and wants to know different things. You want to know what Pure Talk wanted? What Pure Talk wanted out of me? They asked if I'd be willing to speak to veterans who are struggling to help them out. That was what Pure Talk asked. You want to talk about a company that shares and promotes our values. All these other companies, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, what do you think they would have asked me if they had a chance to sit down with me? Pure Talk, all they wanted to know is, hey, can you help us out with the vets? We got some vets who are hurting. That's where your money goes. Same great network. You pay less. You support a company like that. Switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Take 10 minutes. It's worth it. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I am so happy to be here. If you miss any part of the show, or if I ever happen to leave again, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Remember, 30 minutes from now, we're doing Medal of Honor Thursday. I've got Medal of Honor withdrawals, don't you? Now, before I will come back to this cultural stuff, to the cultural shifts and how we do that. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, because I actually do want to hit some of the major stories that have been dropping in the last 24, 48 hours, 72 hours. First, I'm going to try to stay very, very calm here. And in fact, I believe I'm going to, because I've had about 24 hours to process it. But the 9/11 terrorists getting a plea deal. In case you're just now waking up or just now tuning into news and figuring out what's going on, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, 9/11 guys, they were supposed to have a trial. They still never had a trial. And that trial, death penalty was on the table and deserved. And now they're going to live, courtesy of the American taxpayer. They will live probably the rest of their lives in prison. Maybe the rest of their lives in prison, I should say. You know, at some point in time, a Democrat's going to turn these guys loose back to their own countries. Anyway, they're going to live the rest of their lives in prison. You're going to feed them, house them, clothe them. You're going to pay for their religious ceremonies. You're going to do this the rest of your life. And the anger out there over this is palpable. My own personal anger here is palpable. You already know the story. I've told you many times. I'm not going to go over the whole thing again, but I watched the second tower get hit in my Marine Corps barracks room. We got back from PT that morning, and one of the towers had been hit. They told us to go upstairs, turn on the news. We did. We watched the second tower get hit. We watched both towers fall on live television. I am not a big crier. I don't remember the last time I actually cried. I had tears running down my face. I wanted to murder everyone responsible for it at that time, which, to be honest, that's how I felt. And it wasn't long ago. I forget when. You'll probably remember when better than I do. I don't know. I'm too stupid to remember. But recently, remember, I took my wife and sons up to New York City, took them up there. I wanted to show the boys the Statue of Liberty and in Central Park and just kind of some New York City things that's as American as apple pie. And even though I had just been there recently, I insisted on taking them to see the 9/11 Memorial Museum. My wife and I had already gone, and I had been through it, and it hurt. It's so well done. Highly encourage you to go see it, but it hurt. But I knew it was something my sons needed to see. They were younger. They were after 9/11, so they're too young to understand that day. So I wanted to make sure they saw the pictures, the video. They heard the radio calls, the panic, that I wanted to make sure they saw it and experienced what that day meant. And to know that these people are going to get off scot-free, to know that it's taken this long to even come to any kind of an agreement on things, it probably saddens me more than it angers me, and here's why. The anger came first when I saw the headline. The sadness came when I thought about what it means for my country and what it means about us, who we are, our resolve. For the families, because this is not ancient history, remember. This is not ancient. It's 23 years ago. For the families who are still suffering, I'm sorry. And I wish we had people who weren't horrible and weren't evil leading this country. I wish things weren't this way. In fact, I'm going to set this thing aside before I get upset. I wish things weren't this way. I wished we lived in a country that took our national security seriously. I wish we were just led by people who love the country. I don't need the country to be led by everyone who agrees with me on everything. That's not realistic. Republican or Democrat, I really genuinely don't need that. I prefer that, just like you would. Wouldn't you like someone who agreed with you on everything leading the country? Of course I would, but I don't need that. But I will take just genuine love of country if I could get it. And we don't have it. I hope we get back to it one day. We don't have it now. But man, that sucks, doesn't it? And if you're one of the people who is personally affected by this, lost a loved one, a mother, a father, husband, wife, and anybody, anyone, someone who was close to you, I know that there's nothing I can say to make this any easier or better, but I wish these people didn't lead us. I really genuinely did. All right. And another story I wanted to hit before we get back to the cultural shift stuff was, the video has been all over the place of this Italian female boxer at the Olympics. She lasted 48 seconds against this other fighter. Now, there's a lot of people who are calling this other fighter a trans, and he may be. The fighter failed a DNA test. The fighter failed a testosterone level test. I should clarify. Meaning, look, something's wrong, obviously. And this Italian woman who tapped out of this thing, she wanted to fight this fight to honor her late father. And the video is heartbreaking. You see her sobbing afterwards. I wanted to honor my dad, but I've never been hit that hard in my life. And this video has filled so many people with anger and rage. And there's another story. Remember that female volleyball player? We've talked about her many times on the show, where some tranny spiked a volleyball off her face and now she's got brain damage, partially paralyzed. It's horrible. So I'm going to just lay this out. Ladies, you need to stop any participation in any event, any sporting event you're involved in where there's a dude on the other side. If it means giving up a state title, that's what you need to do. If it means giving up a spot on your team, that's what you need to do. Parents, we have to be strong enough and bold enough to step in so this burden doesn't just fall on our daughters. Fathers, you especially, because I'm just going to level with you here. This makes me angry at the men of Western society more than anything else. It should never fall to the women of society to protect the women of society. It is the obligation of men to protect women. It is our obligation, not optional. It is our obligation to protect women and to know we have wussified Western society to the point that we allow our young ladies on the sporting field to be beaten regularly, hurt regularly. Fellas, this is on us. And we have to be bold enough to take hits to stand against it, because that's really what it comes down to. You remember the UPenn tranny swimmer? That dude who was a really fairly crappy, mediocre dude swimmer, and decided to pretend to be a woman, and he swam against the women and just dominated all of them. And you remember how scared the young ladies on the team were to come out and say anything publicly? put their name on anything publicly. They shouldn't have even had to. The parents should have stepped in. But, oh, what if my daughter gets kicked out of school? What if this? What if that? Understand what it means to be counterculture, to be a revolutionary. That's what you are now. You're a counterculture revolutionary. It means sacrifice. It means giving up on access to parts of your life, of my life, that we wish we could maintain access to. We have to do it, though, or the future is bleak. All right, we're going to get to some more emails. We have Medal of Honor Monday coming. I want to get to this email, though. This just blessed me. Dear part-time radio host, I just wanted to say that my activism was getting my wife pregnant with our third child. Upon finding out about her condition, I made a donation to Preborn. I'm praying my efforts bring two lives into this world. His name is Rob. We need to say a prayer for Rob and Rob's wife. And this is something, when I first started talking about Preborn, I guess I probably should have seen this coming, but I didn't. I didn't realize how therapeutic Preborn would be for people. Women who have had an abortion and regret it, they email me and they say, hey, this is what I do to try to make amends. People who've lost a child, miscarriage, something like that, they give to Preborn knowing they're saving a life. $28 buys an ultrasound for a woman about to abort her baby. People give in honor of dead parents. My dad died, I give to Preborn. My mom died, I give to Preborn. I did not realize how therapeutic it would be, but I'm glad it is. And it's tax deductible. How amazing is that? Preborn.com/Jesse. They need your $28. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And yes, I'll be here. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so I need to clarify how the weekend went. Everyone keeps asking me before I get back to the news here. Remember, we have Medal of Honor Thursday coming up 10 minutes from now. It was so awesome to see my old Marine Corps buddies. It was a Marine Corps reunion. And it is funny how times change. We rented a house up by Lake Travis here in Texas. It's just this big lake, you know, pontoon boats, things like that. We get into the house first thing, and the first thing we do is go to the grocery store. And you can tell we're all old now, because instead of heading right to the beer aisle, we headed right to the produce aisle. Well, we need some bananas. That's what we've become. And it was so great. Couple of things. It was so great catching up. It was amazing to watch how seamlessly we fell back into living together again, because we lived together for so long. It was just immediate. You know, I was the cook. I was immediately making the burgers and eggs, things like that. My Campos is doing the dishes. It was just like we never left. And we did first night we were there. It was pretty late, and we were staying up. We were having a good time swapping old stories and just being idiots and just laughing about old times. And we decided to call our old first sergeant, even though he's sergeant major now, retired sergeant major. And get this, dude is almost 70 years old, and we dialed him up at 11:30 at night. 11. Shut up, Chris. I know. We wanted to. We wanted to talk to him. We were swapping stories about him and things he did in Iraq and just ways he trained us. He used to do this. He's just one of these guys who's trained with all these spec ops SEAL type guys. And he got to our company and he made us do this horrible training that we hated that was amazing. Like, we looked at it afterwards and we thought to ourselves, wow. For instance, let me give you a for instance. I'll get back to the phone call. For instance, He would have us set up our gear a certain way. We would have our magazines set up a certain way on our bodies. And in the brutal heat, he would make us stand in front of a wall with empty M16s, no rounds, and sit there, drop a mag, pull a mag from your mag pouch, from your magazine pouch, load it, do it again. drop a mag, pull a mag out, load it, do it again, drop a mag, pull it out, load it, do it again. Freaking horrible, boring, awful crap like that until you get in a pressure situation and you realize it's now muscle memory for you to drop a mag, pull out another one, insert it in the weapon, and you look back and think, wow, that freaking guy knew what he was talking about. Anyway, he was always taking care of us, always looking out for us. One of my buddies, I'm not going to say his name, one of my buddies was extremely close to his grandma. His grandma pretty much raised him, and we were in Iraq. We were still in combat, and his grandma was dying. She was about to go. She had a couple days left. This guy, our first sergeant, pulled my buddy out of combat and sent him back to America, and he got to America in time to spend 2 days with his grandma before she died. Like, that's how this guy looked after us. He was hard on us, but he looked after us. Anyway, we dialed him up at 11:30 at night. The dude takes the phone call. Not only does he take the phone call, he just sits there and gabs with us as if it was old times. And of course, he had to check in and make sure we were okay. If one of us had done something dumb and been in jail, he'd have been in the car. I guarantee he would have been coming to help us out. 20 years after combat. 20 years after we get out, we're all old men now. I'm freaking bald. I've got gray in my beard. 20 years after, still looking out for us. And that's pretty freaking cool, isn't it? It's amazing those connections you make and how they don't go away. No, Chris, there were no jello shots or there was nothing. There was no jello shots. We're not on spring break and I'm not 21 years old. Jello shots. You know what we did do? We stayed up till something like 1 a.m. that night, the first night. I don't stay up past really 10. That is 10, 10:30. We stayed up past 1 a.m. the first night. I woke up the next day and I wanted to die. I just felt like this is the end. This is going to be the end. So we just hung out, made some food, enjoyed ourselves, caught up on old times. I would highly recommend all you vets out there, no matter how long it's been, schedule something. Doesn't have to be fancy. This wasn't fancy. The air conditioning hardly even worked. It was not a fancy trip by any means. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be a week. Doesn't have to be expensive. Spend an hour. Meet at Red Lobster for an hour. Have some cheddar bays. Catch up on old times. What, Chris? Or Waffle House or someplace nice like that. Meet somewhere. Don't lose those old connections, because I'll tell you, I'm ashamed that it had been 20 years. Now, I had seen, you know, this guy here, or we'd meet up for some chicken fingers here now and then, but 20 years since we had a reunion, unacceptable. And we all agreed that it was unacceptable. And it won't be 20 years before the next one. Life is too short. We're going to start scheduling these things every 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And we're going to go and we're just going to catch up. Next time we'll bring family, though. We're too old. We don't get anything out of just being together. We all missed our families, of course. But yeah, fellas, veterans, get with your brothers. And if you're struggling, you'll remember that you have brothers out there who can help. Because we also went through that while we were there. You know, we don't all end up in the same place in life, family-wise, work-wise, life-wise, substance abuse-wise, and your old veteran brothers will still care about you, and they will still be there, and you go put a hand in someone else's hand, you might just find that you have help waiting out there, and know you're not weak or pathetic if you need it. Go see your old veteran friends, all right? And on that note, that's part of the reason I wanted to do Medal of Honor Thursday. When we come back, we're going to do Medal of Honor Thursday. Then I'm going to talk about this prisoner exchange today. This Wall Street Journal reporter, a couple other people got sprung from Russia. We'll talk a little bit about Dome, this Israeli assassination. I'll go through some emails. Young men are preferring older women now, and so much else. Before we do that, I also had a chance when I was down in Florida to spend some time with the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I'm just going to drop this little nugget on you. There are many things I could say. I'm going to drop this one on you. You've heard about when Hamas launched that attack, you've heard about how they were mowing down people in ambulances, right? Because that's what they do. That's how those people operate. you know that there are a lot of ambulances where they were able to get in and get out, and the people who were inside of the ambulance lived. And you know why they lived? Because the ambulance was bulletproof. And do you know how those bulletproof ambulances got there? The IFCJ is what got them there. IFCJ providing body armor, bulletproof ambulances, bunkers, which sadly Israel is going to need probably a lot of in the coming times. IFCJ. Right now, they're asking 500 listeners for $150 because they have someone who's going to match the $150. If that is something you would do or willing to do, call 888-488-IFCJ. 888-488-IFCJ. $150. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.